Hi, welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Szabó-Vas. Our goal is to discover, celebrate, and share Hungarian heritage and encourage you to do it too. We'll touch on food, travel, history, music, and language, and share stories from our listeners. We're glad you're here. This is a podcast where we'll encourage you to dig deeper to learn about your Hungarian heritage in a variety of ways. We'll have thought-provoking conversations and share resources. So whether you know a little or a lot about being Hungarian, this is the place to be. Hi, I'm Liz, and welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. Some of you know that my mom was a writer, and she wrote lots of things that were published mostly for children. One of the projects she was working on for many years involved translating Hungarian folktales. And so today I am going to read one of the ones that she has translated and just let me know what you think. So this one's titled King Matthias and the Wicked Judge. Down the road toward the city of Kolozsvár came a stranger. The young man, dressed in peasant clothes, was very friendly and stopped to chat with people along the way. It was market day in the city, and the streets were filled with farmers who were bringing their wares to sell. The young man stopped to talk with the farmers and the herdsmen wearing their loose-fitting pants. He had a kind word and a smile for the old people as well as the children. Of course, not for a minute did anyone guess that this young man was King Matthias. Now the king had heard unfavorable reports about a certain judge in Kolozsvár, and he had to come see for himself how the subjects of his kingdom were faring under the judge's leadership. "Good morning," said the king as he sat down at a little open market hut. "I'll have a cup of hot coffee." As he waited, he watched the peasants getting their market stalls ready. They brought milk and eggs, fruits, vegetables, and flowers to sell. "Which is the judge's house?" asked the king as the merchants gave him his coffee. "Over there," said the merchant, pointing to a large white house down the road. "He's a mean one," added the merchant with a frown. "Look out, or he'll put you to work, too." Before the king could ask the merchant what he meant, a very tall man with a dark bearded face came up and thumped a heavy hand down on the king's shoulder. "Get up, you," he commanded gruffly, "and help the other parents carry wood to the judge's house." At his side, the man carried a large stick. He lifted it and prodded the king to his feet. "Move, move, hurry along." "What are you paying?" asked the king, pulling himself away. "This is what we are paying." And the man brought the thick stick down hard on the king's back. "I see," said the king, thoughtfully rubbing the sore spot below his shoulder. The man poked and prodded several other peasants along with the king toward the judge's yard. The judge was leaning on the window sill, smoking his long pipe as he watched the poor people being herded down the road. When the king passed by the window, he looked up into the judge's hard, cold eyes and called up to him, "What are you going to pay me if I carry wood for you?" The judge took the pipe from his mouth. "Just exactly what I pay the others," he roared back at the king. "And if you do not hurry along, I'll pay you even better, with some black and blue streaks on your back." The king said no more, but went along with the others to carry wood for the judge. For hours they carried the logs one by one on their shoulders. They were wet with perspiration by the time they got the last few logs piled up in the judge's yard. Before the king left the judge's yard, he managed to carve his initials on three logs at the bottom of the pile without being seen. Several days later, King Matthias paid an official visit to the city of Kolozsvár, this time not dressed as a peasant, but as a royal king. The people gathered in the street and hailed him as he rode in on his fine white steed. "Long live the good King Matthias," they shouted over and over again. The very first thing the king did was to call forth the judge and the town council. The judge bowed several deep bows as he approached the king. "How is the city?" questioned King Matthias. "It is as well as anyone can wish," said the judge with a smile. "And have the poor peasants anything to complain about?" King Matthias quickly glanced around and saw several of the peasants who had helped carry wood for the judge a few days before. The king waited for someone to speak up. It was only the judge who spoke. "In such a fine city, as pure, and under the rule of such a fine king, Your Majesty, how could anyone have any complaints?" came the judge's reply. "Is that so?" Again the king looked directly at those men who had worked with him. "Are you sure that the poor people have no complaints?" Quickly, the judge answered him, "Indeed not, Your Majesty, none whatsoever." The king walked back and forth in front of the people several times but said nothing. Then the king ordered his aide to go to the house of the judge and find the three logs on which he had carved his initials. When the king's aide returned, they brought with them the three logs and also the tall, dark-bearded man. "Who carried this wood for you?" questioned the king as he rolled on top of the logs along with his foot. The judge was not so quick to answer this time. Started the judge in a very fearful voice. "Out with it," commanded the king. "The people of the city," stammered the judge finally. "And what did you pay those good people for the work that they did?" asked the king with a frown. The judge looked down to the ground. He could not look the king in the eyes. "Nothing," answered the judge. "Nothing," said the king. "Did I hear you say that you paid those poor people nothing for doing your work? I happen to know that you pay worse than nothing." "You there," said the king, pointing to the tall man with the dark-bearded face. "Do you remember me?" "No? Well, I remember you quite well, my friend. Would you like to see my back? It is still sore from the blow you gave me with your stick." The judge's man shook with fright. "And now," said the king, looking the judge square in the eyes, "do you have a better answer to my question? Do the poor people have anything to complain about?" The judge was silent. His head hung low. What could he say? "Have you no answer for me? Then I will give you the answer." He turned to all the people who had gathered there and began to tell the story of how the king carried the logs. "And when I asked the judge how much he would pay me if I carried wood for him, he answered me saying, 'I will pay you exactly what I pay the others, and if you don't hurry, I'll pay you extra with some black and blue whip marks on your back.'" The king turned to the judge and asked him once more, "Do the poor people of your city have anything to complain about? Can you give me an answer now?" "Yes, they do," said the judge in a low voice, his whole body trembling with fright. King Matthias pointed his finger at the judge and announced, "This man is not fit to hold office in my kingdom. And you," he said, looking at the people, "even if you are poor peasants, you must not allow yourselves to be treated unjustly. You must stand up and speak out for yourselves against any cruel man who wants to use you for his own wickedness." The king mounted his horse and nodded to the people. As he left the city to return to Buda, the people walked with him on both sides, shouting and cheering him on his way. "Long live the king! Long live King Matthias the Just!" I hope you enjoyed this version of King Matthias and the Wicked Judge, translated by my mom so long ago. And I hope you can see why King Matthias was often referred to as King Matthias the Just. Have a great week. Hungarian Living is a division of Magyar Marketing, the Hungarian store, where you can find meaningful gifts with Hungarian style. Check us out at magyarmarketing.com. And special thanks to Stephen Cicek and the Animal Cannibals for the show music. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Hungarian Living, please subscribe and share this podcast with your favorite Hungarian. Check out our show notes for links to resources mentioned in this episode. If you have a question or comment, email us at podcast@hungarianliving.com. We'll catch you next time.